Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
And I'm joined now from our Dáil studio by Norma Foley, Minister for Education and Fianna Fáil TD for Kerry. Good morning, Minister.
Good morning, Claire.
I'm not sure how much you heard there of Professor Philip Nolan. I think it's safe to say that the full reopening on the 22nd has a question mark around it now. We're on a knife edge, he very clearly said. What's your reaction to what he had to say?
I think, to be fair, Claire, I think we are all aware now that there are huge concerns. You know, it is an indisputable fact, you know, that the numbers are rising, and we're seeing that reflected in hospital admissions in ICU, and it is most certainly a cause for grave concern. I think very clearly the point has been made by Professor Nolan, indeed by the Deputy CMO and others, that we have done an extraordinary amount, particularly in terms of the take-up of vaccination in our country. It has been spectacularly successful. There has been enormous buy-in by society. But it is a cause for concern, I suppose, that we do have 300,000 adults yet to be vaccinated. We have 70,000 adults who have received only one vaccination. And there is a view that it would be really positive and really helpful the more people that we can get vaccinated. It is a cause for concern in terms of hospital admission, that a very large percentage of hospital admissions are those who are not vaccinated.
Yeah.
And there's also,
well,
I suppose,
50-50, I think, is what we heard from,
well,
from the HSE.
Two-thirds, I believe, of patients are not
in ICU,
yeah,
but general
are not
admissions.
Vaccinated, and, you know?
Anyway, the question I suppose people will be asking today is, if, having listened to Philip Nolan, if it gets to the point where we need to make choices in order to keep schools open, is the government prepared to do that?
Well, I think we've had to this point, you know, a very measured and a very considered safe reopening of society that has actually served us very well up to this point. And indeed, you know, in your interview, it was also acknowledged that, I suppose, two weeks ago, we were in a very different position to where we are now. And that's the one thing we have learned about COVID, that it's a very fluid situation. And I think society has made enormous sacrifices for the benefit of education and indeed other sectors as well. And I do think, you know, the alert is being sounded now. I do think we're aware that we need to be ever more vigilant in terms of our social distancing, in terms of our wearing of masks, hand hygiene and vaccination and all of that. And I believe society will heed the alert, I suppose, that is being heralded today and over the last number of days, of to redouble our efforts. And I want to acknowledge that there has been enormous support for the school sector to date, and I'm very conscious and I'm very confident that that support will continue by society.
And I know there has been evidence in the past where, you know, when a warning is sounded like the one we've heard from Philip Nolan, from the Taoiseach and from the Tánaiste, that people do change their behaviour. But let's say it doesn't work this time, or let's say that doesn't happen. We could be in a situation where schools remaining open is under threat and we need to make difficult choices in order to allow that to go ahead. Now, what's your sense of that?
Well, I think it has been accepted by society and indeed supported by society that schools are a priority for government, and that the education of our children and young people must be a priority. We know from all of the studies and indeed our own personal experiences that, you know, children are disadvantaged when they don't have the opportunity to be in school, not just from an in-person teaching and learning point of view, but also from socialisation, from a well-being point of view. So it is in the round, in the best interests of society and indeed our children and young people, that they should be in school. And I want to acknowledge as well, in terms of schools, you know, I think it's important to say that, you know, our schools have operated with significant infection prevention and control measures. There is an enormous body of work being done on a daily basis by our schools, and that has been acknowledged by all of the health experts and public health. And so our schools have operated very well presently and indeed during COVID times. So there is an acceptance that we must prioritise our schools. But as I say, you know, the alert has been raised now. There is a need for all of us, and each one of us has an individual responsibility to redouble our efforts. And I'm confident that society will do that. Everyone wants this return to normality. And I would think it's fair to say that society is deserving of the return to normality. But we have done it on a phased basis, on a cautious basis up to this point, where remedial action was required at any given time. Society did it. And
yes,
I'm sure we will do that again.
But given that education is at almost the top of the agenda, government agenda, and indeed society's agenda too, I mean, would you be in favour now of saying that nightclubs can reopen on the 22nd and that many of the other remaining measures be removed on the 22nd? Or as we sit here today, be saying, look, we need to press the pause button on this because we need to protect education?
Well, I think, to be fair, even from your interview with Professor Nolan, he did very clearly say to you that, you know, every day of data matters. So it would be premature at this point to make a decision as regards the 22nd of October, because the more current the data, the more accurate and more informed, as it were, the decision will be. Mm-hmm. And I think equally, if I can remember correctly, what he actually said was that at this point in time, the trajectory, as it were, in terms of COVID is going in the wrong direction, but it's at a slow to moderate pace. And we do have an opportunity to correct that. So I think it is important that when we take those decisions in relation to October 22nd, we do it with the most current and with the most up-to-date data available to us.
Yeah, and then we have the nightclub owners, who one of whom was on Morning Ireland this morning, just begging for certainty. And it looks, mm-hmm. because of the situation we're in, that they're not going to get that now until right up to the wire.
Mm-hmm. And I absolutely understand that. I think from a human level, we have to be very conscious of just the inordinate difficulty for so many different sectors, for society in terms of individuals in society, but also for different sectors. And I absolutely appreciate the points that will be made by whether it's nightclub operators or whatever, and how difficult it is for them. But I think what we're trying to do, and this is not coming from me as an individual, this is actually coming from our medical health experts, our modelling experts like Professor Nolan, that if we want to get it right, we need to depend on the most current and the most up-to-date data. And it is for that reason that the decision has to be very immediate rather than 2 weeks in advance or 3 weeks in advance or whatever.
Right.
So it is hugely regrettable, and I know it adds to the trauma and anxiety for individuals. I wish it were otherwise. But if we've learned anything from COVID, we have learned of the importance of the most up-to-date and current data being received and acted upon.
Okay, on your own budget funding, which we heard about this week, you've got 1,165 additional special needs assistance, which will go to support children around the country. Now, Éan Ó'Riordán, the Labour Party spokesperson, is seeking clarity on how many of these are there to meet demographic demands rather than unmet need. So are we talking about almost comparable to inflation, really, isn't it? Are these really additional, or are they going there to meet the needs that currently exist?
Well, in the first instance, in terms of special education, we now have more than 2 billion of our allocation. You know, 20% of our entire allocation in the Department of Education going to special education, and rightly so. And there is an ambitious program set out that includes 980 additional special education teachers, and that will be additional teachers going into the system, 1,165 SNAs, which will be distributed throughout our school body. And that's in addition to the almost 1,000 as well last year, now bringing to 19,000 the number of SNAs within our school system. That's mm-hmm. the single biggest figure ever.
But the principals have made the point that the places that were announced last year, some of those haven't been filled yet.
No, that's actually not quite correct. There was almost 1,000 allocated last year. There's all allocated bar the last 70, which will be in place by the 31st of December. So the full allocation will be drawn down and used this year. And I have every confidence that, you know, the additional 1,165 will be similarly drawn upon next year.
So you don't foresee any issues with recruitment?
No, I don't. I think it's a significant prioritisation of government and certainly by the Department of Education in terms of the need to prioritise special education, the need to resource it, the need to put in place special education teachers, the need to, I suppose, build on resources that we have currently in our schools and to do that incrementally. And I think it's a substantial acknowledgement where we can say that the single biggest investment ever in special education has come in this government's budget with over 2 billion or 20% of the entire budget. And that's on the back of a budget of 9.2 billion across the education sector. And also just in terms of special education, I was also very pleased to secure for our teaching principals in special education settings, or indeed teaching principals that have two or more special education classes, they now will automatically become administrative principals. So that will also be an extraordinary, I suppose, addition to schools in terms of the delivery of special education. So we have been very proactive, very forward thinking in doing the job of work that needs to be done in terms of special education.
What about free school books? Because the programme for government has a commitment to deliver that free school books for schools and families. But this is the second budget now that you've announced and there's been no movement on that commitment.
Well, to be fair, there is already a book rental scheme operating in our schools. There is an extraordinary uptake in that in the vast majority of our schools, both primary and second level. And it has been a particularly successful programme. And I also want to acknowledge this year there is a very strong innovation in the budget where we have 20 million brought into play for the benefit of our schools in terms of a reading programme and a reading initiative for our schools.
But that's not the free school books that were promised in the programme for government.
But I'm being very clear. We do have programmes being trialled and being piloted in terms of free school books. We have a number of those programmes in operation. But specifically, I want to say to you, we do also, resourced fully by the Department of Education, have very strong book rental schemes, which are taken up in the vast, vast majority of our primary schools. And equally so, there's a strong uptake at second level. That's the system that we are resourcing. We are moving, and it is our intention in an incremental basis to move towards a stronger free books initiative. As I say, it is being currently piloted. From that pilot, there will be considerable learnings. And when that's fully reviewed, there will be further progress. But I don't, for one minute, for example, I wouldn't dismiss the 20 million that is going into schools in terms of promoting, you know, reading books, audio books, braille books, whatever is the necessity, because that in turn promotes literacy within our schools. It very much so promotes the joy of words and language and inculcates in our young students an appreciation of the written word and will generate our next generation of writers. So I think we have to take a very wide breadth of measures that are required in our schools.
Okay, Dr. Conor O'Mahony, who's a senior law lecturer from UCC, and he's also the Special Rapporteur on Child Protection, was tweeting last night about the €31 million settlement that will be paid to survivors of sexual abuse in day schools by your own department. And he says there are serious difficulties that remain with that scheme. Some survivors will be excluded. Some, he says, will be shortchanged. He's written to you about this in August and hasn't heard back. What's your response to him?
Well, I suppose in the first instance, I'd have to say that this scheme has been put in place to fulfil Ireland's obligations under the European Court of Human Rights judgment. The scheme has been developed in close consultation with the Attorney General's office. Now, the scheme just opened in July of this year. And there has been a number of successful applications to date, and it continues to be open for the next number of years, 2 years from July. I think it's important to say that this scheme, you know, and I want to point out that I was very conscious of this since becoming minister. I'm in office just, you know, short of not even a year and a half now. And I was very keen to advance this, as there had been no advance on this issue. And I don't for one minute take away from the trauma that has been experienced on an individual basis and also in terms of families in relation to the suffering here.
Notwithstanding that, you were the minister who stood over this decision to exclude people who couldn't demonstrate that they had sued the state before the 1st of July 2021. Now, there was nothing in the ECJ ruling, as I understand it, that said that you could or should do that.
Well, again, I will say to you very clearly, like, that the scheme has been developed in close consultation with the Attorney General's Office and indeed the Department of Education. And I'd also have to say to you that we do regularly update the Council of Europe on the actions that we have taken to fulfil and comply with the European Court of Human Rights.
So you're saying that is compliant?
Well, you know, as I say, I'm very clear on this, that we have consulted in terms of the scheme. The scheme was a consequence of considered engagement and discussion with the Attorney General Office, and we are regularly updating the Council of Europe in relation to
but
it.
But it is significant that the Special Rapporteur on Child Protection would raise with you in a letter on the 16th of August and ask you, why have you done this? Why have you said to people who didn't sue the state prior to July 2021 that they're not included in this? It's a very significant matter that he's raised, and you don't seem to be addressing it specifically. And I know that you haven't replied to him because that's what he said last night.
Well, just in terms of that, I want to acknowledge that, you know, our primary focus and our absolute primary focus was in getting the scheme up and running. I was very conscious that for far, far too long, this scheme had been in abeyance. And it was a cause of enormous stress and anxiety for the individuals concerned. And I did want to move that on. So the entire focus has been on getting the scheme up and running. And in terms of a reply to the letter, I want to acknowledge, you know, as I say, the primary focus to get it up and running. And my officials, I have raised with them, and there will be due contact with them in relation to that. But okay. Again, I'd have to say to you that, you know, this scheme has been created in consultation with the Attorney General's office.
All
it
right.
has
well,
opened we... and, you know, we do regularly update the Council of Europe on our actions.
Okay.
So, and there is a wide, I suppose, tranche of people who are being accommodated in the scheme.
We'll leave that one there. One final question for you. Do you have any update on the bank holiday for frontline workers? Because this will obviously impact your own department and schools in a very significant way.
Well, just in relation to that, there is work being done on it. No decision has been taken on it yet. I do think it's important to acknowledge that the past 18 months have been extraordinarily difficult for all of society. And, you know, there are measures and, you know, particularly you referenced the bank holiday. There are final discussions to be had on that and on other issues also. And as soon as they're concluded, it will be brought to Cabinet.
OK, frontline healthcare workers get a bonus, some sort of a financial bonus or a voucher. Should teachers get that too?
I think, again, you know, not to repeat what I've said, it has been an extraordinarily difficult time for all of society, I think. And that includes teachers, and that includes SNAs and school caretakers and secretaries and school management. But it also includes those who worked in our banks, those who were working in supermarkets, the Gardaí. You know, a wide cohort of people have been significantly, indeed, I would suggest all of society and all sectors have been impacted
Minister,
by COVID.
The question is, we know that. The question is, if nurses get a bonus, should teachers get it too?
Well, again, I'll make the point that
it's a very simple question.
And I'm going to make the point that you have singled out teachers. I think we're talking about a wide school community who have in their entirety made sacrifices just like everybody else in society, guards, whoever else, supermarket workers, bank workers. So I think there is an acknowledgement, however, that those who had to don PPE, we'll say, for example, were in different circumstances, so there may well be a different measure in that regard.
Okay.
But for the whole of society, there will obviously be an acknowledgement in some form or other, whether that would be bank holiday or whatever, that is currently being worked upon also.
Minister, thank you very much for your time. Minister for Education, Norma Foley.